All right. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So today's children's sermon is an actual study that's famously known as the Stanford Marshmallow Test. Has anyone heard of this? Yeah? A few teachers in the back? All right. So basically, a couple decades ago, and there's been different variations of this marshmallow experiment, they put a bunch of preschoolers in individual rooms, and they give them a proposition. They said, all right, here's a plate, here's a marshmallow. If you wait for me to go into the other room to get the bag of marshmallows to eat the first one, so if you don't eat the first one and you wait, when I come back, you get two marshmallows. But if you eat the one that's here before I come back, then you just get this one marshmallow. And they saw how many people either waited or didn't wait. And they did some studies afterwards. And they found the people who did wait actually had better SAT scores. They had healthier bodies. And they were overall more prepared at life. So parents, I think all your kids decided they were going to wait today. Good job. So this study has been redone dozens of times with a couple different factors. But ultimately, the heart, you know, of this study is one question. Now, are we innately valuing instant gratification over waiting for something? Would we rather have something right now than waiting a little bit for something better to happen? Instant gratification is so common in today's society, right? See, if we need to contact someone, if we have a question, we can just call them or even text them, that's a lot faster. If we forget to get someone a birthday present, we can just hop online to Amazon and order it, and it can be there the next day if we want. If we need something for dinner or to eat or a snack, we can stop by the grocery store or the Sheets and have, you know, ready-made food ready for us in just a few minutes. It's a life that's filled of kind of instant wants and instant gets. We want something, we can get it pretty easily. And so often our relationship with God, we want that to be the same, right? We want our prayers answered immediately. We want instant gratification in our relationship with God. So often we pray to God and we want answers right now. So whether it's me at a Penn State football game, when Penn State's on their fourth down with 1 yard to go and I'm praying that we make the next first down. Or whether we pray that that phone call we get from our child's school isn't bad news. Or when we hope and we pray that the rain will break just in time for an outdoor wedding that we're going to. All examples of instant gratification with prayer. Or sometimes if we're like Mary and Martha in today's lesson, we find ourselves praying for something a little bit more serious than Penn State football. And that's that the person who holds our family together, who supports our family, who makes us a family, will survive. And today's gospel lesson is one that we've heard potentially hundreds of times. Now, it's one that holds a verse that many of us learn as one of our first Bible verses. Jesus wept. This story is a precursor to the resurrection of Christ himself, and it's a reminder that really nothing, even death, can separate us from the love that God has for his people. But when we're in those situations, when we're in the space that Martha and Mary were that day, when we're reaching out to God and asking why things are happening, it's so hard for us oftentimes to see the good that will come out of those situations. When life doesn't go the way we expect it to, so often we ask God, you know, why is this happening? Or why did you do this? Or what did I do wrong? And so often we don't understand why things occur or why things ended up happening when they did. We are like Martha so often, who believes in the resurrection and in Christ, but we still want a singular outcome, right? We'd rather have our person be healed to be resurrected from the dead. Because in order for the latter to happen, they have to die. And we don't want that. See, if Martha was in that marshmallow study, we would, odds are that she would rather want one marshmallow right now, her brother to live, instead of waiting for two marshmallows, her brother to be raised from the dead. We have an idea of how things should go, really, from our own human perspective. And when God has different plans, we tend to question it. We tend to ask why. And so often when I'm writing sermons, kind of things happen in life that remind me of something that kind of parallel to whatever scripture reading I'm reading. And this week, it was in a 1990 Garth Brooks song that was playing at the breakfast diner my mom and I went to the other night, or the other morning. It's from an album called No Fences. It's a well-known song that topped the country music charts. It's recording in late 1989, and it's based on a true story and has been a well-loved classic since. The lyrics go a little bit like this, and when I heard it, I couldn't help but think about the story of Lazarus. It goes like this. I'm not going to sing it today, but I will say the words. It goes, just the other night at a hometown football game, my wife and I ran into my high school flame. As I introduced them, the past came back to me, and I couldn't help but think of the way that things used to be. She was the one I waited for all times, and I spent each night praying to God that he would make her mine. If he'd only granted me this one wish, I wished back then, I never asked for anything again. And as she walked away and I looked at my wife, I then and there thanked the good Lord for the gifts in my life. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs, that just because he might not answer, doesn't mean he don't care. For some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. See, if Jesus had answered those prayers that Mary and Martha were sending up a hundredfold to their God that they trusted and believed in and loved, yes, their brother would have lived, but the glory of God would not have been entirely known to the other Jewish people. We would not have been able to see the human side of Christ, that side that wept when he realized that Lazarus had died. And the part of him that wept is so human and allows us to understand who God is. We would not be able to understand the power that God not only has over the sick, but also over the dead, and that's before Jesus' resurrection. And this message so often is one that focuses on this well-known, but if anyone is in those throes of grief, kind of unhelpful verse, that, you know, God doesn't give us what we can't handle. Yes, that sounds nice, but, you know, when we're in the midst of it, it's not really helpful. However, I think this story, yes, it's about God's promise of life, but it's also about a God who walks in the valleys of life with us. I don't think God wills sadness or despair on his people, but rather he helps his people find the good in a heartbreaking situation. The good isn't often what we want it to be, but often it's what we need and allows us to experience God's glory. And God is so often in life with us, weeping with us, mourning with us, and abiding with us, even though we know that one day we will be reunited with our loved ones in heaven. So in this season of Lent, as we move toward the cross, as we abide with Jesus in his final days, we be at peace with whatever happens in our lives, good and bad, as we wait for the marshmallow-filled morning that is Easter. Amen.